Well, greetings, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher and Andrew Farley, I'm Bob Davis. And if it's 3 p.m. Central Time, you're hearing Basic Gospel Live, and we want to hear directly from you. The number, 844-322-2742. And if you have a question or some issue you'd like to talk about, we cordially invite you to come right on into the studio right now during this broadcast and speak directly with us. Whether you're listening live or to a delayed broadcast, however, the number is the same in the U.S. and Canada, 844-322-2742. But for right now, it's Basic Gospel Live, and as I said yesterday, here's the very live Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Andrew Farley is with us today. Andrew, good to have you, as always.
Hey, great to be with you guys.
Yeah. You know, Andrew, we live in a crazy world where there's all kinds of divisions out there, and it seems like those divisions are just getting wider and further and further apart, and more of them, and it's interesting. You look through the New Testament, and there was a church that was suffering the same thing. There were many divisions within the church at Corinth, and Paul wrote both of his letters to try to bring unity in the midst of their diversity, try to get them on the same page, to recognize that their lives are now built upon the foundation of Christ Jesus. And I love how he starts his letter, his first letter. He says, I appeal to you, brothers, by the name of our Lord Jesus, that all of you agree and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be united in the same mind and the same judgment. For it has been reported to me that there is quarreling among you. What I mean by this, some of you say, I follow Paul, I follow Apollos, or I follow Cephas, or I follow Christ. And then he asked the question, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you, or were you baptized in the name of Paul? And then he goes down in verse 17, and he says this, for Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, and not with words of eloquent wisdom, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. And it seems like he's making a connection there. If you want to have unity, if you want to be of the same mind and same purpose, you have to be centered in the gospel. The gospel is that unifying force, that unifying power. And without the death, burial, and resurrection, I think the world is just going to continue on in its divisions. And we're just going to see all kinds of hostilities between different people groups. But if the gospel is overlaid, if the gospel comes into play, then there's that possibility of unity, isn't there?
Yes, and there is a baptism that unifies us, but it's not this water baptism that he's talking
That's
about.
Right.
And it's not the focus on the baptizer that he was addressing, but instead it's a spiritual baptism, baptized into one body, baptized in regard to one message, one Lord, one Savior, one gospel, and that's what unifies. And so he's saying, let's not be divided. And then you look 2,000 years later, Bob, and maybe it's not Crispus or Gaius that is an issue, or maybe it's not the household of Stephanus that is arguing, maybe it's not someone making a big deal of Cephas or Paul, but we are chopped up in divisions and factions and all denominations. And the reason for that is, just as 2,000 years ago we could be distracted as human beings, likewise today we get distracted, we get off of focus, and we start looking at physical things like water baptism and disputing about those things. You know, you have to be dunked three times or one time? Do you have to be sprinkled? What if you join a new church? Do you have to be baptized in that church? Certain denominations and movements say you got to be baptized in our waters for it to count. And in the process, we just lose sight of the whole gospel message. I mean, the gospel message is that you're right through the cross and the resurrection. You're not right through water baptism anyway. So these divisions and factions are thousands of years old. It's definitely a human tendency.
Yes, it is.
But at the end of the day, as you and I, all of us know, I mean, we've got to come back to this gospel that is Christ-centered and cross-focused and put the resurrection in the spotlight and say, this is what makes me clean and right and close with God, and this is what brings us together, unifying us as the body of Christ.
Absolutely. And, you know, Andrew, with what's going on out there in the world, we're hearing a lot about racial reconciliation. Is that possible? Can we experience that here in America? And if we'll just look at the church and we look at the gospel of Jesus Christ, we see that a reconciliation has already been accomplished. And because of the blood of Christ, because of the life of Christ, we can connect. We are reconciled. We're reconciled to God. We're reconciled to one another. And it's what Paul is saying here, let the gospel be the foundation and just walk in that truth. Abide, you know, you live in Christ. Just believe that as if it's so, because it is so. And I think that's why this is so vitally important, and why Paul, in every conversation to every issue, brings it all back to Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection.
Yes, amen to that. And that is the focus, Bob. And, you know, you hit the nail on the head, and that's why at Basic Gospel we're always putting the cross and the resurrection in the limelight. Too many times we see a distraction into five steps for this or 10 hoops to jump through, or here's a bunch of rules, or here's your accountability group, or here's, I mean, if we're not careful, we end up being just like any other behavior improvement religion. And, you know, it's just not what God has called us to. Jesus said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And he said he would give us rest for our souls, and that's real, and that's what we talk about every day on Basic Gospel.
Yes, indeed. Thank you for those thoughts, guys. And friends, we want you to be a part of this edition. If it's about 307 Central Time, it's Basic Gospel Live, and you can pick up that phone and dial directly into us right now at 844-322-2742. We'd love to hear from you. That's why we're here every day, to address your questions and take you into the Word of God for their answer and the solution in the Lord Jesus Christ. Again, 844-322-2742. You know, the world today needs truth, guys, and a new listener named Kathy recently sent a note to us. She said, my friend told me about you. I've been listening every day since and catching up on the podcasts as well. I listened about 3 or 4 hours a day while at work, and that's commitment. I think you'd agree. You guys, she says, have the best questions, but most of all, the truth for the answers. Thank you. Well, we appreciate hearing from Kathy and are thankful that a friend reached out to tell her about Basic Gospel. Kathy, her friend, and you and I, and Bob, and all of us here, Andrew at the ministry, we're all ambassadors for truth, and every day with your help, we're broadcasting that truth concerning Jesus Christ. And so we ask all of you to help us end our fiscal year in a solid position so we can continue telling others about Jesus. We look forward to hearing from you through basicgospel.net or by mail. The Basic Gospel address is 751 Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Louisville, Texas, 75057. Again, 751 Hebron, H-E-B-R-O-N, Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Louisville, Texas, 75057. We would love for you to partner with us. And Bob, tell our listeners about this wonderful gift that we're going to be sending.
We do. We have a wonderful resource that we want to put in your hands. It is a 30-day devotional on forgiveness. And we want you to take the journey. And as you do, you're going to let go of your past. You're going to be set free from fear and guilt. And you're going to really learn to embrace the love of Jesus Christ. So that's what this forgiveness issue is all about. It will open the door wide for you to fully experience the abundant life in Jesus Christ. It's forgiveness, a 30-day devotional. We want to put it in your hands. It's yours for a gift to Basic Gospel this month to help us close our fiscal year on a very strong note.
It's a wonderful devotional, and friends, we hope you'll take advantage of that and help us end the year on solid footing. Well, again, 844-322-2742. We have open lines right now. And guys, we had this call that came in off hours.
Yes. In the 13th chapter of Romans, it talks about leadership. and how we ought to respect and obey the leadership. The present pandemic on America and the bad things going on, do you think it has a direct tie with disobedience of this request in Romans 13, verses 1 to 3 and 4, if you want to include that as well? Thank you. Bye-bye.
It's an interesting question, isn't it, Andrew? Is this pandemic a direct result of disobedience as far as Romans 13 is concerned, letting everyone be subject to the governing authorities?
Well, I think if I understand her question rightly, Bob, I think she's saying, and you correct me if you think I'm wrong on this, but I think she's saying, you know, with the pandemic and the government telling us to stay indoors, is it a disobedience toward Romans 13 to disregard that instruction? And then with all the mistreatment of people that we've seen lately, the police force letting us down in one regard, and there being a history there, and then there being riots and all of that, you say, well, where does Romans 13 come into play with all of this, the pandemic, the revolt and riots and the protests? And I would say, look, we have to consider what Rome was like, and, you know, having a voice against the emperor or having a voice against the government in Rome, well, you better forget about that. This wasn't the United States of America. You didn't have the freedom of speech that you have it today back in Rome. And so there are ways to peacefully protest, and there are ways for us to say, you know what, it's enough is enough. It's been 2 months. I want to go out, and I'm telling my governor that that's how I feel, or I'm voicing my opinion in this way or that way. But I think that Paul gives this instruction in Romans 13 to those living in Rome because, quite frankly, it was protective of them. They don't need to be suffering as evildoers or suffering in disregarding the government of Rome in any way, shape, or form that would just turn them into a criminal. Paul does say in the New Testament, the theme is it's perfectly great to suffer as a Christian. But if that's not what you're suffering for, if you're just rebelling to be a rebel, if you're just going against the government in order to, go your own way, then that's totally different. So I think that we're just so blessed, guys, to live in the United States of America today where you and I can have a totally different opinion and coexist, and we can have peaceful protests against all kinds of causes without violence, without harm, without hurting anyone. We can cast our votes at the ballot box. We can express ourselves there in a loving way. We can elect or not elect certain officials, or people can be fired from positions when they've acted violently. On and on it goes. The freedom and the privilege that we have in this country is very different from what they experienced in Rome 2,000 years ago. So, Bob, I guess I would say we need to be led by the Lord Jesus Christ in everything and make sure that even as that passage says, that it's about love, because love is the fulfillment of the law. So whatever you do, do it in love. Walk in love. Depend on Christ to love people through you. But at the end of the day, wow, we can be thankful for the environment we live in, which is very different from 2,000 years ago.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting, too, Andrew, when you look at how this little passage about government is sandwiched between two other topics. And one topic is, bless those who persecute you, do not overcome evil, but overcome evil with good. And then owe no one anything except to love each other, for the one who loves one another has fulfilled the law. So it's the government's job. We don't need to seek revenge. We don't need to do those things. God has instituted governments for that purpose in the world. So let's abide by that and just go about the business of being in Christ, of being believers and living out who we are in this world. And that's going to make a huge difference.
Without question. Well, again, it's Basic Gospel, everybody. We'd love to hear from you, 844-322-2742. And, guys, another call that came in off hours was this one.
Yes, my name is Paul. My question is, on Matthew 24:23, the questions are, can Satan read your mind? Also, can Satan apparently can perform miracles, but who else can? The false prophet, etc. And can Satan see the future during that time period? I don't think he can now, if you'd elaborate on that, but can Satan see the future during the build-up to and or during the tribulation, along with performing miracles? And can he read your mind during that time period and now? Thank you.
Yeah, well, that's a great question, and I think we ultimately have to fall back on the nature of Satan, which, of course, is evil, but even deeper, digging deeper into his original design, he's just an angel. He's a fallen angel, and that is it. And he does not compare to God in the slightest. God created him. So, you know, you just look at the limitations on an angel. They're not fortune tellers. They don't know the future. They are not omniscient. They are not all powerful. They are not God. They're not even close. So I would say no to the mind reading. I mean, you know, the beauty of our position in Christ is that we can take every thought captive. And at the gateway of our minds, we can count ourselves dead to those sinful thoughts and count ourselves alive to God. And the last thing that needs to be on our mind is that maybe Satan can somehow be a psychic type person and be reading our minds. Not true. He can see our reactions. He can see whether a temptation was successful or not. He can see whether perhaps condemnation brings us down in our mentality or not by our behaviors, but he is not a future teller and he's not a mind reader. It is pathetic, really, who he is, and the power that people attribute to him is really inappropriate. We've got in the church today, it seems like we can have a fixation on Satan when he is literally just one among millions or billions of creations of God, and he's fallen at that. So I think his only power is in lying. His only power is in deceiving. And when we learn that about him, then we realize, okay, here's a simple solution. Get to know Jesus, believe the truth, you know, drive a stake in the ground and say, I'm going to be all about fixing my eyes on Christ and believing what he says about me. And then as far as the lies, it doesn't matter who's telling them. It could be my next door neighbor. It could be family members. It could be a condemnation from the enemy. It doesn't matter the source. What matters is the content. And so, Bob, you know, I think we could speculate about Satan and fixate on Satan, but ultimately he's a fallen angel and has very little power and really can only seek to deceive us. And once we learn the truth, wow, it really does set us free.
Absolutely. I think that's so well said, Andrew. I've always given this illustration that Satan is like a fisherman. He knows something about fish that they're gonna bite on some bait, and he doesn't know what bait. He just keeps throwing out different stuff until the fish bite. And I think that's what he does with the lies and the deceptions. He just keeps throwing out stuff until somebody finally gives in to one. So he doesn't have any power at all. As a matter of fact, he's been, as someone once said, detoothed and declawed, and we don't have to give any credence to anything that he brings to the table whatsoever.
Absolutely. Well, it is Basic Gospel. Andrew Farley joining Bob Christopher and me. I'm Bob Davis. Thank you for being with us, friends. I want to remind you, of course, that those of you who have yet to join us on either Facebook or YouTube during the broadcast, you can see the live stream every day. Just log on to basicgospel.net just a minute or so before the top of the hour, 3 p.m., and go to the very top of the page. You'll see Facebook and YouTube linked there, and you can select the one that you want, and you can see the live broadcast. So we encourage you to do that.
Yes, indeed. Well, Andrew B. has this question. She's watching us on our YouTube feed, and she's asked it in a couple of ways. But one, how should believers respond to those who don't believe and whose actions keep racial division alive? And then she goes on to explain that a little further and said, in terms of the reconciliation that we spoke about, I don't really know what to do when I'm confronted by racism. So how do we handle this issue that's front and center today, that wherever we go, where it's going to be right there in front of us? How do we deal with that?
Yeah, well, I certainly think it's well within the parameters of appropriate to sometimes just shake your head and say, I don't like that, or I don't appreciate that, or I don't want to hear that, and walk away from it. And in so doing, you're not being judgmental, but you're just telling the truth that I don't look at people that way, and I don't want to hear that nonsense. And so, you know, you can only do so much. You can express your disdain. You can stand up against that sort of attitude or outlook that rejects people based on their nationality or their skin color or whatever it might be, their background of any kind, and say, well, I'm not going to recognize people according to the flesh, some worldly label that we put on each other. If we're in Christ or we're in Adam, those are the two most important things to know. Is a person in Christ or in Adam? And let's say they're in Adam. Well, then what? Well, you're talking about the love and grace of God, and you're inviting them to the table to feast on God's goodness, and that God's desire is that they turn and be saved. And so there's a loving message for lost people. There's a loving message for saved people. And it's not our job to ever participate in deeds that involve hatred or violence. And so I would just say we're back to that idea of walking in love and letting the love of Christ Jesus be our filter. What thoughts am I going to take in? What thoughts am I going to agree with? What thoughts am I going to reject? Well, the love of Jesus Christ is that determinant. And so I can take those thoughts captive. And guys, I don't believe for a minute that it is legalistic or judgmental at all to, in a loving way, just say, I don't appreciate that, or I don't want to hear that, or I don't agree with that. You don't have to go any further. People will know. They're embarrassed after having uttered something that is a racist type comment. I mean, they're already, if they're in the Lord is already working on them that very moment. And so for you to just express that and say you don't want to be around it, or just to walk away, whatever you decide, I think that is well within the parameters of expressing yourself in a truthful and a loving way. And that's what the Bible says, speak the truth in love. And Bob, I don't know if you have other thoughts, but those are mine.
Yeah, well, those are good thoughts. And, you know, when we see it out there, when we see somebody mistreating another human being based on the color of their skin or based on the fact that they're different in some way, you know, I think it is appropriate to call it out, to call it for what it is. And I think when we do, a lot of times people may not realize, or, you know, somebody calling it out will kind of sober them up a little bit and make them reassess what they're doing and some of their own thoughts and attitude. So, B, thank you for that question. It was really good, and certainly an important and timely and relevant topic today.
Well, you guys brought a very, very a succinct answer, and I appreciate hearing that as well. And friends, thank you for being with us for this edition of Basic Gospel. You know, overnight, if you have a Bible question or a life issue you'd like us to discuss, you can give us a call, leave us a voicemail at 844-322-2742. We'll be glad to hear from you. And again, that number, 844-322-2742. And friends, please remember to tell others about Basic Gospel. There's a whole world waiting to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. And if you tell someone, and they tell someone, and so on, well, you get the picture. The gospel keeps going forward. So we ask you to help us end our fiscal year with a solid position. Your gifts, your support, keep the wheels turning, and we appreciate every gift that you make. So please go online to basicgospel.net and click donate, or if you prefer to mail your gift, our address is Basic Gospel, 751 Hebron Parkway, that's Hebron Parkway, Suite 310, Lewisville, Texas, Lewisville, Texas, 75057. Lewisville, Texas, 75057. We would love for you to partner with us, and as we approach year end of the fiscal year, we really need your help to make sure we come out even. Well, now for Bob Christopher and the ministry team, and with lots of thanks to Andrew Farley for being with us, I'm Bob Davis with your invitation to be back again tomorrow for another edition of Basic Gospel. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.